you try to make it work, and it never seems to go the way it says. You ever open those manuals up and try to? Well, sometimes I feel like a dummy, not very often. But, you know, what do you do when you make yourself look like a dummy? Yeah. But we know what the dumb things we do. You know, I'm glad it's Sunday. I love the beginning of the week. But one of the dumb things we do in life is we hang on to grudges. We hang on to anger. We hang on to bitterness. We hang on to revenge. We hang on to things in our life. Somebody did something. Somebody said something. A situation, a circumstance, a neighbor, a parent, a grandparent, a mom, a dad, a coworker, a boss. Somebody said something. Our best friend. Somebody said something. And we hang on to those things. And so this morning, what I want to deal with is, I think it's one of the things that's a challenge for us. It's called forgiveness. How hard is it to forgive? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many here have somebody in your life that you don't want to forgive? I got one up here already. It starts young, doesn't it? Yeah. How do we deal with unforgiveness? What do you do? See, in America, we kind of look and praise unforgiveness. We make tons of movies. I just made a list of some of the movies that deal with unforgiveness. Kill Bill. Anybody seen that one? The Terminator. The Unforgiven. Only God Forgives. Forget Me Not. Death Wish. I enjoyed Death Wish. Anybody seen that one? Death Wish 1, 2, and 3. I enjoyed that one. You know, Braveheart. Anybody enjoy Braveheart? Batman, one of the Batmans, all deal with revenge. Yeah. We have Garth Brooks did a song about bearing the hatchet, but leaving the handle showing. Yeah. How do we deal with those feelings in us? Because I don't know about you, but I can tell you, sometimes it's hard to forgive people. Anybody? You know, it's hard to forgive. What do you do with that stuff in your life when somebody has hurt you? When somebody has done something, how do you deal with it? And so this morning, I kind of want to talk about it. You know, but I want to begin, you know, why do we talk about forgiveness? Should we forgive? I mean, is forgiveness some big deal? You know, what is this thing about forgiveness? And God commanded it. So does that mean we must? And so I kind of wanted to look at it. But so why forgive? I've kind of put a list here of four reasons you should forgive. The first one, that's last week's sermon. Is it last week's sermon? Let's see. Go next. We'll find out real quick. Yep, that's last week's sermon. Go ahead and shut it down. Well, you got your paper? You got paper and pencil? We'll go back to the old way. I'm going to have to forgive Evie now. She loves that. You know I'm joking. Of course, I never make mistakes, right? Anybody here? Yeah. Only spelling. Thanks. Oh, man, mercy, mercy, mercy. If you had that first blank, write this in there. Unforgiveness negatively affects you. Negatively affects you. Don't ask me to spell it. You have to figure it out yourself. But negatively affects you. See, unforgiveness has an impact. Unforgiveness is like a cancer. I'm going to tell you, if you have unforgiveness in your heart, you have a cancer in your life. You might not have something the doctors can treat, but you have something you can treat. Because it does, it eats away at you. I'm going to tell you, you know, if you have bitterness, it's not just you. It nurtures in you. And it cultivates in you. And guess what? It comes out at others. Yeah. If you have revenge or anger, it pops up. It might not be with this person, but you're already mad, so when you get this person over here, or something similar, you know, it's like you're just waiting for it to happen again. See, it eats away at us, and it cultivates in us, and it nurtures in us, and bitterness sets in. And I want to tell you, it affects you physically, it affects you emotionally, it affects you spiritually. You know, last week I talked about what happens when you seek forgiveness from God, that sin separates you from God. I want to tell you, unforgiveness separates you from God. If you nurture those feelings, you nurture those ideas, it makes an impact on your life. And so I want to challenge us. It has a negative impact on our life. It's a poison. I'm going to tell you, unforgiveness eats away at you. Yes, here. I like this. Look at what it says. Anybody ever read Dilbert, cartoon Dilbert? Anybody ever look at Dilbert the cartoon? Anybody read the cartoon page anymore? I don't see very many hands going up. I like this. To err is human. To forgive is not our policy. Yeah. And it's so true. So how do we deal with this? And I want to make sure you understand. If you carry bitterness around and you carry anger around and it's like, well, it's just this little person over here. It's not everybody else. I'm just mad at this person. Anybody get mad at somebody? It's this person over here. It's this individual. If it wasn't for this individual. But I'm going to tell you, that individual affects all your life. Let me give you a little hint here. If you have anger and you have unforgiveness, you have somebody controlling your life. See, you're allowing that person to have a negative impact on your life. They commit. You'll avoid being around them. You'll avoid going to places. I've never forgot. I'll tell on my dad if that's okay. My dad had a job back in Oklahoma. He worked at a little, the old-time pharmacy. Anybody remember the old-time, some of you older ones, when the old-time pharmacy had a, you know, had a Coca-Cola counter and all that kind of stuff. And he worked there for a little while, and one night $20 showed up missing. And the boss accused my dad of stealing the $20. You know, and the $20, you know, it was gone. Well, a few weeks later, the guy found the $20 bill had slipped out of the back of the drawer and fell in behind. All right. That happens when my dad was a child. My dad goes back to Oklahoma visiting my mom. They're driving the road home around. He goes to town, and he wanted a calendar from this pharmacy. But guess what? He would not go into that pharmacy. He sent my mama into that pharmacy. He held that anger and that grudge. For anybody ever do anything? You'll avoid, I won't go to that restaurant because so-and-so works there. I've heard this. I won't go here, I won't do that because so-and-so. You're allowing somebody to control. See, anger and this unforgiveness controls you. It negatively affects you. That bitterness, that anger, all that stuff just turmoils in your life. See, and we need to see that. And so I want to make sure you get a picture here when we talk about this. Why should I forgive? Because it's going to hurt you if you don't. It's going to have an impact on your life. And it will not only affect that one that you're angry with, but it usually affects others. Now, if I get angry and I am upset and I'm mad, do you think I can go home and treat Laura right? Anybody? Anybody ever get angry or mad at somebody? You go home to your wife or your spouse and you're still mad. Who gets the brunt of it? See, we act like it's just over here. So I want to tell you, unforgiveness is always out in front. It's going to negatively affect your life. The next thing I put down here as you look at unforgiveness is God expects you to forgive. Now, if some of you jumped ahead of me, you might have felt something in there like commands you to forgive. And yeah, he does. But I like the word expect better. Because see, once I cross that line of being a Christian, you know, that invisible line you hear me talk about week in and week out, you know, you get that point in your life, you come to a point where you got to make a decision. Either I'm going to do things God's way or I'm going to do it mine. You know, I share with you week in, God, you know, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come my life and take control. And once we cross that invisible line, we pray a prayer along that line, and we cross that invisible line, God expects us to forgive. I never read my last verse, did I? That's a real good verse. Let me go back and read it. Don't have to share it. There you go. Thanks. To worry yourself to death with your resentment would be a foolish, senseless thing to do. Is God's word right? I think it's written to dummies like me. But look at what it says here, for God expects you to forgive. Whenever you stand up to pray, you must forgive what others have done to you. Did you get it? You must forgive what others have done to you. Then your Father in heaven will forgive you. See, I could say God commands it, but I want to put it this way. If you cross that line and you are a Christian in this place this morning, God expects you to forgive. Yes, he commanded it, but he expects it from you. You've crossed that line. You said, God, I'm not going to hold on to that stuff in my life anymore. God, I'm not going to nurture that stuff in my life anymore. God, I'm not going to hold that stuff in my life anymore. And you said, God, I'm going to change and do things differently. And one of the things God expects is us to forgive. You know, that person, that mom, that dad, that brother, that sister, that aunt, that uncle. that coworker, that fellow student, that neighbor, that God expects us to forgive. He expects us to do the right thing. See, God has a right to expect that. See, He has a right for us. See, and as Christians, we need to cultivate a forgiveness. We need to learn to move on in life, and God expects that out of us. Another thing I put down here as you look at your notes, I put unforgiveness reflects poorly on God. If I say I'm a Christian, that means I should be like who? Like Christ, right? Would anybody agree with that? If I say I'm a Christian, that means I'm supposed to be like Christ. And if I am unforgiving, am I like Christ? No, I'm not. See, we are challenged in our lives that we need to be forgiving, because if we don't, it's going to reflect poorly. Who would want to be around a God who's unforgiving? Anybody? A God who carries that stuff around and is just waiting. See, I feel some people look at God like He's just got this ton of bricks just waiting for you to make another mistake so He can drop it on you. And yet many of us carry that kind of stuff around in our lives. We nurture that kind of stuff in our lives. And I'm going to tell you, it reflects poorly on God. Who would want, you know, hey, would you come to church with me? Well, you're an unforgiving person. Why would I want to worship your God? Why would I want a God like yours if you got this anger and you got this bitterness and you're spewing this garbage out of your mouth all the time about so-and-so and you're gossiping and you're doing, why would I want to worship your God? If your God is like you and you say you're like your God, I don't want a piece of your God. See, when we have unforgiveness, it's a poor reflection of God. It reflects poorly on God and the world is looking at us. See, sometimes we're the only Christian, we're the only image of God some people are going to see in the world today. Am I right? They have a study and they have a group of people they're calling now nuns. Now, I'm not talking about N-U-N, all right? I'm talking about N-O-N-E, nuns. Because people today classify themselves as non-religious. That's how most people classify. Used to be everybody was, you know, you were either Catholic or Protestant or, you know, you had these little check marks everybody always put down. Nowadays, the number one check is none. We may be the only gospel. We may be the only image of God somebody sees. And when we are unforgiving and we nurture that revenge and that anger in us, it's a poor reflection of God. You know what I always said, right? Some of you know, like, I call it Gary 1-1. Anybody remember Gary 1-1? Now, I'm being sarcastic, all right? I want to make sure I'm being sarcastic, okay? Gary has this statement. The Bible says, revenge is mine, saith God, right? But Gary gets even. Gary 1-1, right? Come on, is anybody in that thing? Yeah. No, I'm being sarcastic. I shouldn't be like that. I don't want to be like that. Hopefully I am not like that, because we need to have forgiveness in us. Because it's a poor reflection of God. It doesn't show a good image of God. Look at what it says here. There is no other God like you, O Lord. You forgive the sins of the people who have survived. You do not stay angry forever, but you take pleasure in showing us your constant love. Does the world see a constant love from us? Does the world see a God who's loving and caring and compassionate and forgiving? Yeah. Now, as I talk about forgiveness, I want to make sure you understand something. It doesn't mean you act like nothing's ever happened. Like the relationship's back to normal and everything's good again and we just forget it. It means you restore the relationship, but sometimes it takes time to rebuild that trust. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It takes time to reestablish that relationship. It doesn't mean it erases it. You know, as I'm talking about forgiveness, one of the tragedies I see is we thank God when He forgives us and He erases it, that God remembers it no more. And I'm going to talk about that. He doesn't remember it, but you know, we act like, well, if He doesn't know, I can do it again. Yeah. We need to back up and understand forgiveness. It's letting a debt go. And I put it this way in the last one, God knows when you don't forgive. God knows. Do you ever have this feeling that you're angry with somebody and nobody else knows it, and you say, no, it's okay. Anybody ever do that? You know, it's okay, I forgave them. But inside you know you haven't. You're just waiting. You're just biding your time. See, I grew up with three brothers, two other brothers. There was three of us, 1 year apart. Everybody knew us, the Dubois. They knew us. We didn't do bad things, but we did aggravating things. Is there a difference? At least I like to say there is. You know? We wouldn't do bad, you know, we'd hang a dead fish on a guy's garage door. You know? We'd throw a big old pumpkin in his driveway. You know? Well, you know? So if you did something to us in our neighborhood, you could count on it. There would be a day of accounting. Yeah. I remember the one time, it was Halloween, and I mean, we had a pumpkin like, you know, 3 foot, 4 foot across. We had this huge pumpkin. And my mom and dad went out for dinner, and, you know, it's Halloween's over. It's like the day after Halloween, and we got in the back. We had a pickup truck, and we got in the back of the pickup truck, and I'm not going to say who was driving, but we drove down the street, and there's one of our neighbors that was always a pain. And so we take this big old pumpkin and we drive up on the sidewalk. We didn't drive on his yard because you don't tear anything up. Yeah. But we tucked this big old pumpkin and heaved it right in the middle of his driveway. I mean, you can imagine pumpkin everywhere. Yeah. My mom and dad drive home. My dad goes, I bet that's our pumpkin if it's not there. Yeah. That's the way we were. I mean, you did something to us. You know, there was going to be a day. Anybody? I'm sure nobody does anything like that now, right? You guys are all adults. We don't do things like that anymore. You don't make those plans, do you? You know, you don't, you know, it's not a matter of let's get even, right? Yeah. But I'm going to tell you, God knows. God knows what's going on in my head. Sometimes I wish he didn't. Because he knows, he understands that that's happening in me, and he sees what's happening in me. And we act, you know, we like to think, well, God, don't get it. There was this Catholic school. I read this story the other day. There was this Catholic school, and the kids are going through line for lunch, and they walk up to a table, and as they walk in, here's this stack of apples that take off to take an apple, and it says, take one, God's watching. You know? And so as you went down the line, you come to the end, and there was a little scroll note on the end. Here's a big old stack of cookies, and there was a scroll note down there. Some kid had wrote a note on it. It says, take all you want. God's watching the apples. Do we act like that sometimes with God? You know, I'm going to hold on to my anger. I'm going to hold on to my bitterness. I'm going to hold on to my revenge. I'm going to hold on to getting even. I'm going to hold on to all this because God's watching that over there. See, God knows when we hang on to this stuff. See, we need to forgive because it's going to affect us. You might think, well, it's no big deal. It's going to eat away. It's that inside cancer. It's going to affect you negatively. You know, it's going to be real. And we need to understand that if we hold on to it, God expects us to forgive. God, it reflects poorly on God, and God knows when we don't. We need to see that. Here's this passage. Look what it says. But the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord still rules from heaven. He watches everyone closely. Who's everyone? Is anybody here an everyone? Everyone closely, examining every person on earth. The Lord examines both the righteous and the wicked. He hates those who love violence. God's watching. He sees. He knows what we harbor. He knows what we put in our mind and what we put in our heart. And I want to challenge us this morning that we need to think about this unforgiveness. You know, as a pastor, I have people sit down and I call it baggage. That a lot of us carry baggage of unforgiveness, even as adults. It might go all the way back to our childhood. You know, our parents said something, our parents did something. Well, I got news for you. Even the first, you know, I came from a dysfunctional family. But let me tell you guys something. I know most of your families, none of us have a perfect family. Now, I'm not going to pick on yours, but none of us have a perfect family. We're all just, yeah, I think it's amazing. You go back to the beginning. God created two people. How many people? Two. Two. They have children. They're not neighbors. They're not friends. They're not co-workers. They're not fellow students. They have two boys. Just two boys who are brothers. And one kills one. I think that's a little dysfunctional. How do we deal with life? I mean, we can say, well, poor me. Well, but we carry that baggage. Parents said something. Parents did something. Grandma, grandpa, brother, sister, aunt. I don't know who. Yeah. And we carry that baggage. Then we get into school. And I'll tell you, one of the hard times in school, anybody? Junior high. Junior high. Anybody remember junior high? That's a hard time, isn't it? I was telling somebody yesterday, just so you know, I think girls are worse than boys in junior high, all right? Yeah. Somebody's agreeing. Yeah. That's a tough age, isn't it? Pick on one another, aggravate one another, gossip about one another. Yeah. Boys a fight. They'll knock your block off. Girls will pass a nasty note. Am I right now? Come on. You know? And we see this going on. And then we get out of it, we grew up out of that, but you know what, we still carry that baggage with us. It's our parents, it's that garbage as children, it's that teenage years. And then you get into high school and, you know, and then you go to work and you got the guy stabbing everybody in the back, right? Yeah. Or the neighbor that's, yeah. And so we carry this unforgiveness, you know, and I'm going to call it baggage. But I'm going to tell you what, God knows. God knows. He knows exactly what you're carrying. And it's going to reflect, if you don't forgive, it's going to reflect on him. And he expects you to forgive. And if you don't, it will affect you. It'll eat you up from the inside out. It's a poison that's just sitting there. You know, I was kind of thinking about this as I was working on the message. Anybody take those capsules? You ever take medicine that's in a capsule? You know, because it's delayed. Right? It's going to be delayed. See, it's kind of delaying the treatment. Well, I want to tell you, sometimes we have and we harbor unforgiveness, and it's a capsule. It's just sitting there, waiting to explode, waiting to come out, waiting to take its effect. See, it's a poison. And so we need to forgive. And Jesus has a great story. There's an encounter that Peter and Jesus have. Peter, if you're familiar with the Bible, was one who had and made no bones about talking what was on his mind. Peter was one who was kind of in-your-face kind of guy, all right? That's Peter. And one day Peter's having this conversation with God on forgiveness. Now, just to kind of give you a picture, The rabbis of that day kind of had this three strikes, you're out kind of rule. Like, I forgive you once, I forgive you twice, I forgive you three times, it's over, it's done, you're washed, see you later. So here's Peter with this in the background, and this is the teaching he grew up under. And so he comes to Jesus, and Peter trying to be the magnanimous, the forgiving one. Look what he says here. Then Peter came to him being Jesus, and said, Lord, how many times can my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? The rabbis say three, I'm going to double it plus add one. That sounds good. Double what the rabbis say, add one more, make it even bigger than that. God's seven times, doesn't that sound good? I'm going to forgive somebody. They do it seven times, God, I'm going to forgive you. I tell you, not as many as seven. Oh, that sounds good. Not as many. Oh, so it can be less than seven. Jesus said to him, well, wait. But 70 times seven. So here's the deal. You go now, and right now you can buy those little spiral-bound books. All right? You can get those. I think they're a quarter at Target right now. Aren't they a quarter at Target right now? They're at Target or Office Max. You get one of those books. And so when they put and sin, you put their name there, and you put a little mark, and you get these Roman numerals. And so you start marking them off. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, you know. When you get to 490, you're done. So you got to, if you're like me, I'd have a lot of those books, okay? Yeah. Yeah, they'd be a lot of, that's why they're 25 cents. This is a good time to get them. Because you're going to need a lot of them. Is that what Jesus is talking about? Is he talking about, well, keep track. When they get 490, it's done. No, I think Jesus is painting a picture here. Look at what it says, you know, kingdom. And he goes like this, for this reason, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who wanted to settle his accounts firstly. I'm going to kind of tell you what the story he tells is. But he's kind of telling this story here. And I see the challenge. You know, yes, keep track. Yeah, just kind of get your little red book. And, you know, for me, it might be you have to put some, you might have to get a book for everybody's name on it. You know, you might get one and put Gary on it. You're going to need one. You know, the whole book is going to be Gary, all right? You know? Because that's what we do in our lives. You know, that's the challenge. But see, what I see him saying, and this is where I wanted to go with this, and we're going to paint a picture here with the story Jesus tells. But I see him taking this out of this world. Because when he says it's 490, guess what? It's out of the world. Because here's the picture. If you're going to forgive, you're going to need help that's out of this world. Did you know that? If you're going to forgive, you're going to need help that's out of this world. Because if it's up to me, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, but Gary gets even. If it's up to me. If it's up to me, seven times sounds reasonable. Rabbis, three times sounds even more reasonable. How's that old saying? Do me once, mine. Do me twice, do me three. I don't know how it went, but you know, once you hit the three, you're done. Yeah. And here Jesus tells this parable of a king. He had books and he had loaned out money and he had all this stuff going on and some guy owed him literally millions of dollars. He owed this, and there was just no way. It'd be like me if I had borrowed $1 million. I can't pay it back. I'm not going to live long enough to pay it back. There is just no way. Well, this guy had millions of dollars of debt, and he couldn't pay it back. Now, in those days, you go to debtor's prison. You go to jail. Sells your family. Sells everybody else out. Makes his money back as much as he can off you in jail and your family sold. And that's what they would do. So this guy begins to beg this king. Forgive me. You know, I can't pay it. Forgive me. And he begs this king. And the king gracefully forgives him that debt. Wipes it out. Takes the paper. Zero. Debt paid. Paid in full. And the guy walks out. Anybody know the story? Walks out the door, walks down the street, and there's a friend of his he had loaned a couple of $100 to. And his friend can't pay him. Pay me. You owe me, you pay me. His friend can't pay. He begs him for forgiveness. He begs him to let it go. And he doesn't. He throws the guy in jail. Now, do you get the picture? Here's a guy who owed millions of dollars, just forgiven. Wants a couple of $100, throws his friend in jail. Now, the king hears the story. The king hears the story, and he goes, hey, this ain't going to be right. So he calls the guy back in. Now, I get this image. He calls the guy back in, pays that guy's debt, gets that guy out of jail, and says, where's my $1 million? Where's my $1 million? And see, Jesus is telling this story. And he ends with this statement. Look at what he ends with. He says this at the very end. So my heavenly Father will also do to you if each of you do not forgive his brother from his heart. I want to make sure you get a picture here. We've tried to rationalize this away. I even have done it. Because he's saying this. He's saying, if you don't forgive, I won't forgive. That's pretty hard to take. Now, we try to, and you know, we can make a psychological, if you don't forgive, it's going to be negative upon your life. And we try to make it psychological, emotional. That when you don't forgive, it's going to negatively affect you. But that's not what God's word says. God's word is pretty plain. Not here, but we're going to read it several times. I go through the passages we're going to read as we look at some other points this morning. He says very plainly this. If you do not forgive, you will not be forgiven. Period. You can try to rationalize that all you want. You can try to say it's emotional all you want. But here's what I want to declare to you this morning. If you are harboring unforgiveness, God cannot and will not forgive you. Think about it. That sounds pretty serious to me. Yeah. That's why I want to come back to this point as Jesus told the story 490 times takes it out of the world. Because the only way I can do this is through God. I cannot do this on my own. When I give that quote to you and I say that sarcastically, when I say that, you know, vengeance mine saith the Lord, but Gary gets even, that is Gary. Seriously. That's how I grew up. Yeah. My brother would do something to me, and it's just a matter of time until he paid the price. Yeah. I remember one time he did something, and he was building a balsa wood airplane. Anybody know that balsa wood, real flimsy wood? He had this airplane all laid out. He did something. I went in there when he was gone, and he had toothpicks when I got done. You know, it's just like crunch, crunch, crunch. He ain't even going to be able to put it back together. I'm going to make sure of that. Yeah. Do we harbor that? Now, just so you know, that was before I became a Christian. All right, see, I'll throw that in there too. But I still like getting even. I got to fight that. Anybody with me on that boat? You know, when somebody makes you mad, when somebody ticks you off, anybody got to fight that battle? You know, that person at work? You know, maybe that garbage from the past? You know, that person that's gossiping about you? Yeah. That person that just won't leave you alone? I want to challenge you. You got to forgive. And so what I want to do here is I'm just going to give three things real quick to help you do it. Just three things. You got to go to God. You got to cross that line because you're not going to do it. God, it's out of the world. I don't know. I often think about this and more lately to think God forgave me and yet he knows tomorrow I'm going to do something stupid again. Think about that. See, we have this, you know, I forgive you, but if I forgive you, what happens if they do it again? Right? You know, I'm going to forgive them, but what happens if they do it again? I can't, you know, until they come and ask, I can sit here today and confess, and I did today. You need to know that. This morning before, you need to know, before I get up here to preach, I make sure my life's clean because I can't stand up here if it's not. And I'm not perfect, so I guarantee you, I had some things last week that I need to take care of. Yeah. And we need to do that. And so I want to challenge us this morning. See, and God knows I'm going to do something maybe today. And he forgave me. That's why I like this series, I'm a Dummy, because you know what? It don't take long, and most of you know, yeah, he's a dummy. Yeah, I do dumb things. I don't want to. Anybody? It's not my intent. It's not my desire. It's not the plan I have for my life. It's not the dream I have for my life. It's not the vision I have for my life. It's not where I want to go with my life. But duh. And God's going to forgive me. He's going to forgive me today when he knows maybe next year, maybe 5 years, maybe 10 years down the road, I'm going to do the same dumb thing. And yet he's going to forgive me today knowing that 10 years from down you're going to do it again. He's going to say, well, I'll wait till you do it the second time, then I'll forgive you. We ever do anything like that? So here's what I want to say. I need to remember how God has forgiven you. You need to remember how God has forgiven you. you. When you're looking at somebody else and somebody else did something to you, somebody else said something, somebody else is doing something, somebody's hurting you, when that is going on, what you need to do is you got to remember what God has done for you. Just pause and think about that. That God forgave you, even though he knows you're going to do it again. Even though he knows what tomorrow and the next day and 10 years and 50 years and 100 years down the road, what's going to happen, he still forgives us. And we need to see that in our lives. I shared that song that I really like and I enjoyed. I've heard it on the radio and I listen to it every once in a while. I listen to it personally. It's in my computer. That God has cast my sins into the sea of forgetfulness. I shared last week the verse of the east of the west. I like this verse here also in Micah. Look at what it says. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. I like that. See, I need to remember what God has done for me. I have the $1 million debt. Anybody? I have that $1 million debt that Jesus died for. I was sharing with somebody the other day, they were talking about Jesus and who killed Jesus. I can tell you without a doubt who killed Jesus. It was a guy named Gary. I killed Jesus because Jesus died for my sins because I couldn't do it. And we need to see that as I think about what others have done for me. I look at my large debt and all that God has taken and all that God has forgiven and all that God, I'm going to tell you, puts up with. Can I put it that way? All that God puts up with. And then I got this person over here who's hurt me once, twice, three, four times, whatever it is. I got this $1 million debt up here and I got this guy with $100 worth of debt over here and I can't forgive him. Does that make sense? Now, it doesn't mean it didn't hurt. Doesn't mean it's painful. It's not painful. Doesn't mean it's not right, but it's real. Yeah. Now, $100 worth of debt for me is a lot. But when I look at the debt that God took from me, see, in the midst of all that God is doing, I need to remember what God has done for me. When you look at that person who's hurt you, that person that said something, that person that did something, that person that is there, will you look and see what God has done for you? Just pause long enough to remember. Pause long enough to look back at see what God has taken from you. And to think about, he knows what you're going to do tomorrow. And I want to challenge us, remember, look at what it says here in God's word, Colossians. Be tolerant with one another and forgive one another. Whenever any of you has a complaint against someone else, you must forgive one another just as the Lord has forgiven you. Do we stay angry? Do we hold grudges? Revenge? Bitterness? Do we have those things in our life? See, it will kill us. It's that capsule waiting to explode. Look at the next scripture. The merciful are blessed, for they will be shown mercy. As I was reading this, I kind of seen a picture here. Kind of a circle. You know, it kind of goes around and around. I'm forgiven. I forgive. I'm forgiven. I forgive. It just keeps going around and around and around and around. Because that's the picture God has for us. If you want mercy, will you show mercy? We have these statements like this. Anybody ever say, you reap what you... Oh, see, you guys know that one. What goes around? Oh, you guys know that one too. Yeah. See, we see these things and we say these things. But do we forgive? And I want to challenge us. You need to remember. The second thing I put down here is pray for those who hurt you. Pray for those who hurt you. Now, if you're like me, my initial prayer for those who hurt me is not the one I should pray. All right? My initial prayer for somebody that's hurt me is probably, God, drop a ton of bricks on them. Isn't that my, I don't know about you, but that'd be my initial thought. But I need to pray. Pray a blessing. Somebody shared a song with me. I was trying to find the song, but shared a song about forgiveness and asked God to drop a pot on their head and all sorts of stuff. You know, a flower pot on their head. That's not the kind of prayer we're talking about, all right? I want to challenge you to pray a blessing on them. Because here's what's going to happen. If you ask God to bless them, God's going to bless you. Yeah. Now, something along this line is probably not. Now, again, this is Gary being himself. You know, God bless this idiot with some wisdom. I don't think that's really the best way to word it. Yeah. But we do need to pray a blessing. Pray God to touch their lives. Pray God to speak to their heart. Here's something that I've come to a conclusion with in my life after so many years of being a Christian. The best way to change somebody who's hurt you is for them to cross that line of salvation. Did you know that? Because then they won't do it again. Then they won't do it again. When they cross that line, when they become a Christian, they're going to have that idea of, God expects me to forgive. God knows what I do. I've been forgiven. See, we need to pray. I'll tell you a prayer. Pray that God changes their heart. Pray that God saves them. Pray that God moves in their midst. Pray that God gives you the words to share the good news with them. Because when they see Jesus in you, maybe they'll cross that line. Does that make sense? Now, that's why I said earlier, this is out of the world. Because in Gary's world, that's impossible. But in God's world, with God's power, all things are possible. Is that true? That's why you have to have God. When you're dealing with this unforgiveness, you cannot do it on your own. You got to have God. You have to cross that line and remember what God has done. And then pray and pray and ask God to move and pray a blessing on their life. I like that. Pray love for your enemies. I circled your enemies. Because that's not my initial prayer. God help them. And you know, as I pray that, guess whose attitude changes? Here's the funny thing. Sometimes, and I've done this, you need to know, I've practiced this. And what happens more than often, honestly, more than 50% of the time, nothing happens in them. But God changes my attitude. God changes me. Those feelings and those hurts begin to change. And God does those things in me. See, and that's what God does. So pray for them and pray God to bless them. The next point, I put this scripture here because I love this. There's two reasons I like this passage right here. Look at what it says. And you'll recognize this. This is Jesus nailed to the cross. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. I like this because Jesus said, do this. And what were they doing? I'm going to say, was it going to change anything? When Jesus prayed this, God, forgive them, for they know not what to do. Oh, we forget, let's take him down. Let's give him a second chance, right? It wasn't going to change anything, and God still said, I'm praying for him. And what I thought was interesting, too, is they were still hurting him. They were still hurting him. It wasn't like, well, it's over, it's done. They were hurting him. They're casting lots. They're dividing his clothes. And Jesus is praying for God to forgive him. I don't know about you, but that's out of the world. That's only God can help me do. To pray for them while they're hurting me. While they're still doing it. I'll forgive them when they stop. I'll forgive them when they quit. I'll forgive them when they ask. And Jesus sits there and says, I forgive you. You're still hurting me. You're still dividing my clothes up. You're going to punch me with a spear in the side shortly, but I forgive you. Did he know they were going to punch him with a spear? Yeah. See, we need to pray for him. Jesus sat there and prayed for him. I want to challenge you, pray for him. Pray for those who hurt you. Pray for your enemies. Let's look at the last one. I got to pick up a little bit here. Oh, I let it go. Let it go, let it go. Can I sing? There's a good song out right now. Isn't there a great song right now? Let it go, let it go. Yeah. The movie Frozen has that great song. Many have sang it here, and we've had a good time with the song. But I'm going to tell you, let it go. Let go of that bitterness. Let go of that anger. Let go of that vengeance plan that you've worked out. Let it go. And that's a challenge for us. It's not easy to let go. It's not easy to let go of anger. It's not easy. You got to let go of that control somebody has over you. You got to let it go. Look at what it says. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. I'm forgiven. I can forgive. I must forgive. See, I've got to let it go. Look at the scripture. You will keep your friends if you forgive them. But if you will lose your friends if you keep talking about what they did wrong. That's pretty good scripture, isn't it? Yeah. See, God invites us to join him. God is sitting there saying, listen, you've invited me into your life. You've asked me to come in and take control of your life. Now let me help you forgive others. Let me help you get rid of that bitterness. Let me help you get rid of that anger. Let me help you get rid of all that baggage in your life. Let me help you. See, we sing this song, but we don't do it. They sing that song, let it go, and we don't do it. And I want to challenge you to do it, to let it go. So at the bottom of your page, I put it this way. I forgive with a blank space. What do you think the blank space is for? Anybody got a bright idea? This is yours. I'm not going to read these. I'm not going to collect these. Is there a name you need to put there? Is there somebody you need to write there? Is there a friend, a coworker? Is there a family member, a brother, a mother, a father, a sister? Is there a neighbor? Is there a fellow student that's done you wrong? Your best friend, who is now your worst enemy? Yeah. Who do you need to forgive? Who do you need? You know, maybe it's not that much for you. Maybe it's somebody you've just been avoiding. Anybody? Maybe it's somebody you've just been avoiding. It's just you just don't want anything to do with them anymore. Yeah. You're just done, so you're avoiding them. You're just staying away from them. Maybe there's somebody you just need to make peace with. Yeah. Maybe there's somebody you just need to make peace with. I found this great picture, and it didn't print too well. Certificate of forgiveness. I forgive everything. I like that. I found that picture. I thought it was great. So I gave you a place. This is between you and God, because I'm going to tell you, you can't do it anyway. If it's up to you, you're going to be like me. Vengeance mine, saith the Lord, but gets even. But with God's help, we can forgive. And others will see God in us. And maybe, just maybe, they will follow God and change their lives. We read about Jesus when he prayed that prayer on the cross. And we say, well, he's God. He was God. He can do that. Well, there's another story in the Bible of a man named Stephen. He wasn't one of the original followers of Jesus, but he was with Jesus. And I like this little, what he did here. They accused him of being a Christian, and they stoned him. Now, when they stoned him, you need to know, they didn't take these pebbles of rocks and throw them at him. They took rocks. They took rocks. I mean, it wasn't baseball-sized rocks. It wasn't softball-sized rocks. It was football-sized rocks and volleyball-sized rocks. And soccer ball-sized rocks. And they took these rocks, and they were stoning Stephen. And look what Stephen said. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now, just if you don't want to know, he didn't fall asleep. He's dead. Just in case you didn't get it. Stephen did it. Jesus did it. We can do it. So I want to challenge you. Who do you need to forgive? If you're carrying bitterness, it's a capsule. It's a ticking time bomb in your life. If you're carrying anger, if you got revenge and getting even, it's a time bomb that's ticking in you. And one day, it will explode. It may not affect who you want it to. It may affect those you love the most. You need to let it go. Remember what God has done for you. Pray for those who have hurt you and let it go. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths, that you are a merciful God and you have forgiven us. There is not one in this place that you have not or will not forgive. Even when you know the future and you know what they're going to do in the future, Lord, today is a day that you will forgive and simply ask. I thank you for that knowledge and that comfort. But Lord, the challenge for us is to be forgiving. To forgive those who have hurt us with words, hurt us with actions. Maybe they've damaged us physically or emotionally, or even spiritually. Lord, help us forgive. You know, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe you're struggling. I'm not asking names. Maybe you want me to pray for you as you wrestle with, I need to forgive so-and-so, and I'll pray for you. Just shoot your hand up, and I'll pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. I see those. Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. Lord, you've seen lifted up hands. As they lifted their hands, they lifted their heart in the battle of forgiveness. Lord, with man, it is impossible. I know for myself it is hard and difficult that I cannot do it on my own. So I ask for your Spirit to encourage them and strengthen them to say, I forgive so and so. To let it go. Encourage and strengthen. Let your Spirit stir their hearts to get rid of that ticking time bomb that is so painful. Thank you for forgiving us. Now help us forgive others. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a practice of our church to give an invitation. Invitation is real simple. It's just when I stand here to pray with you, to share with you.